Welcome to episode 8 of the Ask the Law Firm Seller Show. My name is Jeremy Pook, and I lead Senior Attorney Match. And today's Ask Show will have two segments, a Q&A segment, and then Pook's post. So let's jump right into segment 1, which is Q&A, our first question today. So our first question is, what are examples of important items to update before selling a law practice? Great. So there's really three in particular that we can recommend in terms of important updates. There's other updates as well, but here are three to really be thinking about. Two of them relate to what it is that you have as a law firm owner, and the third one relates to front-facing to potential buyers. So that first update that we really recommend in terms of what do you have is, where's the money? That is, how do the revenues come into your firm per your practice areas? And we recommend looking at that, where's the money coming from question, over the course of the last 3 calendar years. So what we recommend to our clients often is, let's say, pick your top 4 practice areas and identify how much revenues are coming into the firm over a 3-year period per each of those practice areas. Then you're able to know and determine, okay, what percentage of revenues are coming in per each of those practice areas. And that really helps attorneys that are thinking about selling their law practices to understand what it is that you have. It can be really interesting, we find, in terms of you could very well have more matters in certain practice areas and derive less revenue from those practice areas. So just as an example, we work with estate planning attorneys, and we'll find with estate planning attorneys, they may have more matters in a given year that comes in from estate planning, but higher revenues when it comes to their probate and trust administration or the elder law part of their practice. So that first update is, know what you have from a revenue standpoint. What are your top performing practice areas, and what percentage of revenues derive from those top practice areas? The second important update is your client list. And this also super important in terms of what it is that you have, because let's also think about, what is it that you're selling? What is it that a buying, growing firm wants from a senior attorney-led firm? They want your clients and they want your referral source list. Well, then who are your clients? Right? Every year you go in and out of your law practice and you're bringing in new clients, but you may not actually have a handle on who are your clients, who are your referral sources. So really important when you're thinking about selling your law firm is to update the addresses, the email addresses, and more important in today's digital age and texting age is, what are the cell phone numbers of your clients? As a bonus, when it comes to collecting the client data information on your from your client list, is to try to connect with as many of your clients on LinkedIn, because that's going to help you in the future in terms of keeping in touch with clients, not only via email, but many, many lawyers with their clients today are sharing information with them over LinkedIn. And that third update to perform and really to do as you're considering selling your law firm is going to be front-facing to potential buyers. That is to update your website and to also update your LinkedIn profile. Now, that does not mean a total do-over. Really means a refresh, a touching up, but super important when it comes to your website in particular, please refresh the pictures. It's actually fun, okay, to do a photo shoot with your staff, other lawyers in the office, and get new photos up there. It's fresh, it's new, and actually can be exciting, and it looks great when people are looking at your website and seeing the picture of you as you look now, as compared to, let's say, how you looked 10 or 15 plus years ago. Also important to add new content, and probably just as important to remove stale content, right? Like, I visit a lot of websites, and we all do. And when you go on a law firm's website and you see an article that was written in 2004, well, I'm sure that was really interesting in 2004, but like when we're doing this video today, it's 2004. 24. So if there is stale content on the website, please consider removing that stale content. Second front facing, also very important, is your LinkedIn profile. This does not take much time, but I can tell you that when any growing law firm is going to be looking at a senior attorney-led firm, they're going to look at your website and then they're going to look at your LinkedIn profile. So similarly important for your LinkedIn profile to please update the picture, update your bio, and then also try to connect with at least 500 other professionals. That sounds like a daunting number, but it's really not that difficult. If you think of your book of business, think of all the professionals, the clients that you know, even friends of yours. Okay, when people look at LinkedIn and they see someone has 57 connections, 122 connections, you know, once you have 500 connections, it really looks like, wow, you are an active person, you're an active professional, and it's really not that hard to achieve the 500 connections when you're updating LinkedIn as you're making these important updates before selling your law firm. Okay, so for our next question today, our next question is, how long does it take to sell a law practice? In our experience, what we're finding in the marketplace is that it takes anywhere from 3 to 9 months, sometimes even over a year, to sell a law practice. What we're also finding is that it typically takes 6 meetings to sell a law practice. So let's just go back to what we said before, right? That is 3 to 9 months and sometimes longer. You know, why? In large part, because now that we're in what we call law firm sales 1.0, these are not turnkey type sales, right? You're not selling a franchise. This isn't a Dunkin' franchise. This isn't a Subway franchise. This is a professional services business that senior attorneys have developed over the course of many years, and they have a lot of different intricacies about the practice areas, the lawyers that practice with them, the clients that are the clients of a senior attorney-led firm. So when it comes to those 6 meetings, and we'll get a sense of the timing involved, those 6 meetings include a meet and greet, that is, you're meeting a potential buyer. Setting that up takes time. Then you meet and greet and find out, okay, could we match up not only on paper that the practice areas match up, can we match up culturally? And that meet and greet is a very important first meeting for people to determine, could we actually work with these people? And I'll just make a side note about puppy love, because a lot of potential sellers and buyers, sort of like dating, when you think that this person is the right person, you know, we just caution people, when you go into that meet and greet, go in there with eyes wide open. It's easy to fall for puppy love. And we're always explaining to our clients that in the meet and greet meeting, it's really important to really get a sense, could we work with these people? The next meeting or course of meetings really is due diligence, right? That is, we are exchanging P&Ls, we are learning more about the practice areas, about the staff people, about whether these practices, do they really mesh up? That is the senior attorney-led firm, the seller, and the buyer, right? That is, we're finding out a lot more, call it under the hood, during due diligence. That then leads to a third meeting, really a sequence of meetings as well, which is negotiating a letter of intent. These are the terms that the parties are starting to negotiate in terms of what would be paid for the value of the practice, which employees are going to stay on, what are we going to do about the commercial lease, what are we going to do about this, what are we going to do about that. Negotiating that letter of intent can take weeks, can sometimes take well over a month, and actually it's that third meeting we find is often a make or break. Okay, because when you actually start rolling up sleeves and determining about what deal terms are and what they would be and what they should be and what they can be, is when parties will typically say, you know what, it was great getting to know you, and this is not the right, let's call it, cup of tea for either or both sides. If you do wind up negotiating the letter of intent, sign off on it. That next meeting is the signing of the letter of intent. And that's really like we're almost there, right? Because most of the terms of the deal are set forth in the letter of intent. That next meeting, which we've gone over so far, four of them. The fifth one is negotiating the actual agreement. That's adding a lot of boilerplate because we're really having taken the substantive terms from the letter of intent, adding boilerplate terms, and really also identifying and dealing with terms that we may have put off in the letter of intent and said, okay, we're going to deal with this at the what we're typically calling the definitive agreement stage. And then finally, it's the signing of the agreement. It takes 3 to 9 months because sometimes, and I can't necessarily say often, but usually your first firm that you're going to be negotiating with is not going to be the firm you're going to be doing a deal with. So you can go through meetings 1 through 3, meet and greet, due diligence, negotiate the letter of intent, fall apart at negotiating the letter of intent, and then have to start all over again. And that's why the process can take that number of months. And it's also important in terms of the time frame to recognize that in addition to negotiating the terms with potential buyers is what you need to do in advance of even selling the firm. Okay, because in advance of selling a law firm, it's important to make multiple updates and to collect the due diligence internally. And just three particular items that we recommend for senior attorney-led firms to organize before they even start meeting with potential growing firms, buyer firms, is to know your revenues, know what the revenues are by practice area, typically for your last 3 years, updating your client list, knowing the addresses, the phone numbers, cell phone numbers, email addresses of your clients, connecting with as many clients as you can on LinkedIn, and also updating your website. Very important, can be time consuming, but it's super important because potential buyers are going to look at your website and they're also going to look at your LinkedIn profile. So very important to update the website and update your LinkedIn profile even before you start that process of starting to meet potential buyers, growing firms, and starting that 6-meeting process to go from putting your practice, let's call it like up for sale, putting it on the market, to actually joining, selling to a growing law firm. Okay, so for our next question, is what is a random Tuesday in the context of valuing a law firm? All right, so let's first put a definition around what a random Tuesday is. A random Tuesday is an unforeseen, unexpected physical or mental health condition, ailment, occurrence to a senior attorney or another key employee at a senior attorney-led firm. A random Tuesday also is when a key employee, typically a key lawyer and often your would-be internal successor, who gives you notice out of the blue on a random Tuesday that they're leaving the office and they're joining another law firm. So let's go under the hood on random Tuesday, that first random Tuesday when it comes to the senior attorney, okay? When it comes to that unforeseen, unexpected physical or mental health occurrence, or even let's say, unfortunately, a diagnosis of a physical or mental health occurrence. Trust transfer is what we call the flux capacitor of the law firm sales 1.0 process, right? When lawyers are selling their law firms, they are often receiving an earnout, that is, funds are being paid to the senior attorney over time, where the senior attorney is introducing his or her clients to the growing law firms that they join. The connection to a random Tuesday is that if a senior attorney is unavailable to perform the trust transfer, to transfer the trust of his or her clients to a growing law firm, then the value of the firm unfortunately plummets. And in terms of that law firm sales 1.0, the primary components of what a senior attorney is selling and what the senior attorney is going to be paid upon is going to be those clients and referral sources of the senior attorney that are going to transition and be transferred over to a growing law firm. And a growing law firm is often going to be paying a percentage of the revenues that come from those clients over a negotiated period of time. And if a senior attorney is unavailable to make that trust transfer happen because of a random Tuesday event, in our experience, unfortunately, those earnout payment terms are just really minimal, right? Because if you're not there to perform the trust transfer, the clients in large part are just not going to go over to a buying firm. In fact, it's going to be very hard for, often we've seen is like, let's say an executor or a personal representative of a state or a power of attorney of a senior attorney that's experienced a random Tuesday event, and they're not even able to sell the law practice because the senior attorney is not available to transfer the clients over to a successor law firm. The other aspect of that random Tuesday is when a key employee, often your key lawyer, your would-be internal successor, walks down the hallway on a random Tuesday and literally gives you 2 or 4 weeks notice that they are going to take another job with another law firm. This really has a short-term and a long-term impact on a senior attorney-led firm. In terms of the shorter-term impact is that revenues will often go down in the short term because you're just missing a key lawyer in your firm to be able to perform the work. Longer term, when a key employee hits up a senior attorney-led firm with a random Tuesday event, it impacts the synergy value that a senior attorney-led firm presents to a growing law firm. What we're often seeing in the marketplace is that growing law firms want and need senior attorney-led firms because the senior attorney-led firms offer clients, right? Of course, that's huge, the book of business. But also the combined workforce is very important in law firm sales because of a capacity issue. What we're seeing more and more in the marketplace is that when a senior attorney-led firm is offering not only the book of business, but a combined workforce, that is, you've got lawyers and non-lawyer staff that are coming along with the senior attorney to continue to do the work, that in and of itself presents great value as well. Because from that capacity standpoint, often growing law firms are already working at capacity. They don't have extra lawyers and staff people to crank out all the extra work that a senior attorney-led firm would present. So that's unlike, let's say, in a non-law firm sale. If you've got a machine that's cranking out, you know, certain types of widgets, and they want to grow by acquisition because that machine can grow, can crank out more and more of those widgets. When it comes to law firm sales, that machine capacity is actually in the form of the combined workforce, that is the staff, the lawyer staff and para staff that senior attorney-led firms bring. So if a senior attorney is unfortunately hit with a random Tuesday and does not have additional lawyer, other key employees to bring as part of a sale, the lawyer's synergy value, the synergy value that the senior attorney-led firm presents is less. And in terms of how that impacts the sale itself, is that we're finding that if a random Tuesday occurs because of a key employee, a key lawyer leaves the firm, then actually you could have less clients, you could have even less referral sources, especially if that key lawyer has left your firm with clients and referral sources and could impact the sale price of the firm. So in summary, when it comes to a random Tuesday event, a random Tuesday event comes in two types. The first type is when a senior attorney, him or herself, experiences an unforeseen physical or mental health issue. It's something either drastic that happens on a random Tuesday, or it's a diagnosis. And if the senior attorney, him or herself, is not available to transfer the trust of his or her clients, then the value of the practice, unfortunately, will plummet. The second type of the random Tuesday is when your key employee key lawyer, often even your would-be internal successor, comes down the hallway on a random Tuesday and informs you that key employee has decided to take another job. That impacts the law firm in two ways. It impacts it on a short-term basis because revenues will go down because you've lost a major biller, and it impacts the firm on a longer-term basis because the combined workforce that is a key component to the synergy value that senior attorneys offer to growing law firms, that combined workforce has now decreased by the key employee who left, and as a result, the firm is not worth as much without that key employee. And just as a final note, when it comes to that second type of random Tuesday, when your key employee leaves the firm, often the writing was already on the wall. It's super important for senior attorneys to recognize that your would-be internal successor often just wants a job, and you very much would love nothing more than to sell the practice to that key employee. But at some point, that key employee lawyer or lawyers in your firm may very well hit you up with a random Tuesday because at some point they are going to want to have a job and a continuation of a job, and they're going to see the writing on the wall that you may very well retire at some point. They take another job, and you would have done much better by combining and staying together and joining a growing law firm together.